Hey, this is Gray Cook, and welcome to Gray Cook Radio, where I talk with my favorite publisher about the questions that we've generated from our work.
Hey, Gray, I have a question from one of the listeners here, and he asks, how important in this, in the functional movement screen, in the screening part, are body proportions a factor? And he's using an example of the overhead squat. The way he's made, he needs more ankle flexion and has more forward lean in the deep squat than a smaller person. Because he leans forward more at the hip, he needing more thoracic extension and more shoulder flexibility to keep the bar over the feet. And he wants to know, does a guy like him get cut a little slack if the stick isn't over his feet, or like maybe if the upper arms are back even over the ears, does he pass? What are your thoughts on that? Is it self-adjusting, or does he have to work a little harder, or what?
First of all, I can cut him no slack, but just to make things fair, I haven't cut myself any slack either. I'm always going to struggle with perfect overhead squat. I'm 6'4". I weigh 250 pounds. I've broken both ankles twice. I'm pretty long leg compared to my torso. And so if I invented the thing and I'm not going to cut myself slack, I'm sure not going to dole any out to anybody else. But here's what I will tell you. It's simply a screen. And remember, I'm going to give you probably the most important 5 minutes you'll ever get from me when it comes to the movement screen. There's perfection, there's imperfection, and there's dysfunction. And a 3 on the movement screen demonstrates close to perfection. I would want to use you for a textbook demonstration of what this pattern looks like at its best. 2 is imperfection. You pass the test, but obviously there's room for improvement. You may have an anatomical proportional reason or a training problem that keeps you from the 3. And I would suggest that you continue working on it, because if I were able to improve the deep squat at all, you would have to admit logically there's room for improvement. And letting you blame 100% of your lack of overhead squatting ability on your proportions and anatomy absolves you from exploring corrective strategy and trying to improve it somewhat. Will I be able to promote you as the best overhead squatter at Cirque du Soleil in Vegas? Probably not. Do you have about 25% improvement potential if you were to really do some of the things we said in corrective strategy? However, don't obsess over that squat if you don't have 2s on everything and no asymmetries anywhere else. Your squat problem is actually demonstrated further down the developmental chain, maybe in your active straight leg raise or T-spine mobility. So many people want to peg the 3 on the squat without preparing their body for the squat, and it's the last thing we fix. The last is dysfunction. That means you got a 1. If you get imperfection across the board in the movement screen, remember, I don't consider you dysfunctional. So don't consider a 2 failure. 2 is considered average. And because of your proportions and training and previous injuries, 2 may be the pinnacle that you reach. However, if you've got a 1, that is dysfunction. And whether you have a lot of excuses or not, it is a potential risk factor even if you do exercises perfectly and perfectly instructed. So let's recap. You don't have to be perfect on everything. You can be imperfect and still not be at elevated risk. And then there's dysfunction. And so there are too many people out there splitting hairs about perfection and imperfection while dysfunction walks right under your nose and gets on the pec deck at the gym. Where I see a lot of the other assessments and functional tests out there nitpicking the differences in perfection and imperfection, my life's work has been to please, before you throw exercises and loads at people, identify those in the room that have true dysfunction. Stop debating perfection and imperfection. You can acknowledge it and you can work on it, but the people who need your help the most, the people who train and are still obese, the people who work hard and still get injured, are probably walking around with a couple of ones on their movement screen, and they haven't met the person that cares enough to intervene and try that. So you have some imperfections in your overhead squat. And my first advice to you is, I bet it's not your only imperfection. Look at the rest of your screen, honestly, and see where you have asymmetries and dysfunctions, and clean those up. 2s on everything, no asymmetries, before I let you touch that squat. And then start working on your squat. And if you improve at 25%, you can't blame your anatomy and your proportion on your poor score. You had some room for improvement, which is all my point is. Will you ever achieve perfection? Can't tell you that, but I think there's room for improvement. So those people who come to me and say, well, my femur's long, there is enough buffer zone built into these tests that allow for that, and there's enough other segments that can do a little more or a little less throughout your body. Remember, the American Medical Association has produced goniometric measurements. That means degrees that each of your joints should move. Not one test on the functional movement screen asks you to do more than that. All we do is ask you to make your joints work at the same time or in coordination. So we're not asking you to do anything that isn't considered medically and safe. We're basically asking you to use your body as a functional unit and not just show me your ankle independent of your knee, independent of your hip. Remember that next time people are getting into debates about the movement screen. Most of the debates are between perfection and imperfection while dysfunction walks right under your nose. Catch the dysfunction first and you'll be a better trainer than most people you know.
That's a great answer. I appreciate that because I actually wonder about that myself too, you know.
And I wondered about it as well, and I found I would split hairs in the gym and not make a difference. And then I started following my own model every now and then. I used to forget, and I'd change somebody's life, and it's the most rewarding thing in the world. But, you know, debating between 10 and 15 degrees of dorsiflexion isn't going to change somebody's life. Identifying when somebody can't even balance on one foot and wondering why they're on the leg press does.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Let's do this again next week.
We will. Thank you.